Reading for Ramadan.
Well, specifically, we're speaking to our guest today, Mathilde Lujain, who will be recommending a few books that she thinks capture the spirit of Ramadan. Mathilde, before we get started and we introduce you properly, do you ever do that? Do you ever look at people's bookshelves when you go and visit people's houses?
Yeah, I love it. I'm always curious. I feel like it tells a lot about a person to see what they're into, whether they read more novels or more fiction or, you know, encyclopedias or, you know, it just tells a lot about someone, I think.
I love being nosy about that. Do you?
Yeah, absolutely. I feel like the Kindle now has taken that away a little bit, hasn't it? Because you can't really, you know, you don't see it. In fact, my bookshelf is a bit depleted now because everything's on the Kindle, and my bookshelf is things I've been gifted or which I may not have chosen myself, or cookbooks.
It really makes me resent the e-reader in that respect, because it means you can't be as nosy
absolutely
anymore. I'd never thought about it that way. So Mathilde, you are the author of Big Little Steps, A Woman's Guide to Finding a Balanced Lifestyle and a Glowing Heart in Islam. Now, before you talk about your Ramadan fiction and non-fiction recommendations, would you mind taking us through your book? And particularly, I'm interested in knowing what led you to writing it. Was there a moment where you thought, I absolutely have to write this book? What was that journey like for you?
Sure. Well, so it's been an adventure itself, writing this book. You know, I converted to Islam in 2002, and I was a teenager at the time. I was 18 years old, and since then, I've met so many women who were going through the same things, who had similar situations in life, and I just thought, you know, I think the world needs a book for women specifically, which is written by another woman who understands what they're going through, and just to kind of break down, you know, the life of a Muslim woman, and to really highlight all the beautiful things about that Islam has to say about women. And so here it is. And also, I wrote it for my mom as well, for her to understand what I was going through, and I didn't want her to worry, and I wanted to show her that it was making me into a better person. So that's how the whole idea was born, and it really touches on everything that women go through on their daily lives, whether it's well-being. So I look into like natural medicine, I look into like the benefits of fasting and prayer as well on the body and the mind, but also the power foods that are mentioned in the Quran and how they're good and beneficial for our bodies. And I talk about, you know, mosques and prayer, like everything, really. It's a very thorough book. I think I've put everything in here. And I interviewed quite a lot of women from different backgrounds and ages to make sure that it's not just me sharing my own experience, but also that it's like a universal book that can talk to a lot of different women.
What I wondered was, is this a book for everyone, so for non-Muslims and Muslims to engage with as well?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think it's just really healthy to open a dialogue and to build bridges between Muslims and non-Muslims. And I think I have a lot of friends who are curious to understand more about Islam, and maybe they're nervous to ask, or they are shy to ask, and just this book gives you a really good insight into, you know, Islam. It just breaks it down in a very simple manner, and it looks like a really feminine product as well, so it's quite appealing. I wanted to make it appealing for everybody. So yes, it's absolutely for non-Muslims, or maybe new Muslims, or people who were born into Islam as well, so it's for everybody.
Does it go into the moment when you were 18 and you realized what you wanted to do, what you wanted to change, and your family's reaction?
Yeah, so I talk about all of my experiences. So it's actually a really personal book as well. Like, it makes me feel really vulnerable to just put my life out there for everyone to read. But yeah, it goes through my whole spiritual journey, which started when I was actually much, much, much younger. I was about 8 or 9 years old when I started to ask questions about God. And then, you know, I asked my parents if I could be baptized. And so my parents were really supportive. And someone close to me passed away when I was a teenager. And so I had all these questions that I needed closure, and I needed to understand So that led me, that really led me through my spiritual journey and led me eventually to Islam and learning more about the Quran. And I was living in Oman in Muscat at the time. So, the people are so warm and friendly, and I just thought it makes sense to, read about the Quran first before moving on to any other religions. I was just really curious to learn more, and I had a really open mind in general about different religions. And I was going to an international school with lots of different nationalities, and I would talk to my classmates, about things that were affecting us as teenagers from a religious perspective. And my parents were really supportive in my decision, and the book has it all. So it talks about all my experiences and how I dealt with that as well.
Reading for Ramadan.
We're with Mathilde Loudain, the author of Big Little Steps, A Woman's Guide to Finding a Balanced Lifestyle and a Glowing Heart in Islam. Natalie, you had a question.
Yeah, we were just talking in the break, and this is just such an interesting topic that your book's all about, and really current as well. And as a teacher myself, I'm definitely going to read your book, because I just have students from so many different cultures, and it's so interesting to understand it in a really accessible way, in a non kind of scary, intense way, which is fantastic. Right. And we were just talking about Ramadan, and I wondered, what are the three words that really sum up Ramadan and the spirit of the month for you?
Well, for first word, I would say unity, as in community. So Ramadan brings us all together, whether we're Muslims, non-Muslims, we share, we eat together. So I think there's this whole aspect of community. Then there's the elevation of self, where, of course, it's also a spiritual month for us Muslims, and so we try to be better people and better beings, so that's a lot of inner work as well. We work on ourselves. And third, I would say compassion, so also as we fast, we feel for the poor and the needy, and so we feel more of that compassion for others.
Yeah, and it's really lovely what you say about whether you're Muslim or not. It's so true. Working in an international school, it is so true that everybody really just takes on the spirit of the month, and the culture of the school changes, the culture of Dubai changes. There is so much more thought and compassion, and completely agree with those. Yeah.
I think Ramadan's also the thing that stands out for me is that it's a great time for self-reflection. I've always thought that reading is a perfect way of doing that, whether it's fiction or non-fiction. Makes you think and contemplate the world. And on that note, you've got two books that you've brought with you that kind of capture the spirit of Ramadan for you. Would you mind telling us what you've brought with you?
Sure. So number one is Letters to a Young Muslim by Omar Saif Hobash.
Yeah.
So that's a great compilation of letters that the author has written to his two young sons. And the second book is The Alchemist by Paulo Coelho.
So the first book, Letters to a Young Muslim, we're going with non-fiction there. There's a slight connection to your French background as well with Omar, isn't there?
Yes, so he's the UAE ambassador in Paris. And so he has lived there for a number of years, and he gives really good insights into Islam for non-Muslims and Muslims as well, and especially for the younger generation as well. And the fact that he's writing the letters to his son makes it really personal, and you feel this compassion from a father to a son that is so touching. And he breaks down, all of the relevant topics that are in the media or that could be affecting young Muslims today, and he does it in such a way that it's very constructive, and he's really trying to open a dialogue as well with the world, and he does it in a beautiful way.
It's a really clever way of approaching it as well, of getting that message across, is in the form of a letter, because I don't know about you, but whenever anybody gives me a letter, you automatically want to read it, whatever it's about. It's just a great way of communicating. And I just wondered, is there an excerpt that you could read for us so that we could get a feel for the language?
Okay, sure. So this is actually from the first chapter as well. Habibi Saif, that's his son. You often ask why I'm writing a book and what it is about. Sometimes I tell you I'm writing it for you, sometimes for other young Muslims like you. I watch you grow and think of the challenges you have faced and will face. Sometimes I know that I'm writing this set of letters for myself. I'm writing this set of letters to you because I want you to have some idea of the questions that you will face and some of the answers that are out there. I do not want you to hear it from others. I do not want you to learn the most important lessons in life from people who do not love you as I love you. I want you to hear the lessons from the person who loves you most.
Wow. Before you came on the show, I met your lovely daughter.
Yeah.
Is this the kind of book that you see yourself passing on to her?
Absolutely. I mean, for sure. I mean, I was reading it, you know, it really says it all in that first letter where, you know, it's the father saying it, you know, nobody cares as much as I care about you, and I want you to, you know, it's my mission as your parent to teach you the correct way. And of course, the fact that I have a daughter as well,
yeah.
I can definitely relate to that. And I want to even share it with my parents. And, you know, it's a book for everybody,
I think.
It's
really nice, that sense of it being instructional, but from a place of love.
Exactly.
You know, because that makes such a difference. And that really resonated, that I don't want you to learn it from other people who don't know you. It's mm-hmm. that kind of giving the lessons of life, but from a place of real love and knowing, and not just from a place of giving instructions for how you could do things in life. That's
right.
Really lovely.
I think there's something to be said as well for books that you can pass around, that you want to pass around to friends and family, because this book has come up a lot, because Omar Saif Gobash came to the Emirates Airline Festival of Literature this year, and I think the year prior as well. And it's the book that a lot of my friends that I met via the festival have all said, oh, you have to read this. And it's the one that they've passed on to friends and family. And I think that speaks volumes about it. What's the next book that you've got with you?
So the second is The Alchemist by Paulo Coelho. And so that's a beautiful novel. I mean, that touched me deeply. And that's, again, another book that I was like, okay, everyone has to read this. So it's about a shepherd. So it's from Spain. He's really, really close to nature, and he keeps having a reoccurring dream that he needs to follow his personal legend. That's how he calls it. And that he finds a treasure at the bottom of the pyramids in Egypt. And so he's very young, he's a boy, and so he decides to go on this journey by himself, all the way from Spain, whether it's on camelback or a boat or walking. And so he takes us along the way as he meets different people, and he goes through different situations in life. And everyone can relate, because it's really a story about self-development. And as you meet different people in life, they all bring you something that you always learn from other people. And so it's a really touching story, and it's a universal concept of growing as a human being, I think.
It's the one book that people always say, oh, you should read this, and who always want to have a conversation about, and it's the one that I haven't read yet.
Yeah.
I actually did read it, but years and years ago, like when it, you know, was first popular. And I remember people, it was that book that people were saying, oh my gosh, have you read that? And I kept sort of going, not yet. And then I did, and it is absolutely incredible. And it's one of the most quoted books. Like whenever you're trying, you know, if you're trying to find a quote to send someone, or you want to, that kind of, you Google an inspirational quote, and there's hundreds from that book.
Yeah, it's Rumi, Paulo Coelho,
yes, yeah.
Shakespeare.
Yeah.
Do you have an excerpt from that that you'd like to read out?
I do. And the reason why I chose this excerpt is because, so at some point of his journey, he's in North Africa, and he starts working with a man, and they have a dialogue, and he says, well, they talk about each other's personal legends, as they call it. And he talks to this older man, and I'll read that excerpt. So the boy asks, well, why don't you go to Mecca now? And the man answers, because it's the thought of Mecca that keeps me alive. That's what helps me face these days that are all the same. I'm afraid that if my dream is realized, I'll have no reason to go on living. You're different from me because you want to realize your dreams. I just want to dream about Mecca. I've already imagined 1,000 times crossing the desert, arriving at the plaza of the sacred stone, the 7 times I walk around it before allowing myself to touch it. I've already imagined the people who would be at my side and those in front of me, and the conversations and the prayers we would share. But I'm afraid that it would all be a disappointment, so I prefer just to dream about it. Not everyone can see his dreams come true in the same way. So, and I think, you know, we all come across people, we all have a dream, and, you know, my dream was to you know, write this book, Big Little Steps. And we all come across people who kind of discourage us. And because we're different, some people are made to, you know, go and realize their dreams. Some others just like to dream about their dreams. Mm-hmm. And some people will support you in your dreams. Some others, you know, we all come across this roller coaster. You know, when I was writing my book as well, for me, my personal legend, as I was reading this book, because I had the idea of Big Little Steps since 2009. So as I was reading this book, I was like, yes, writing Big Little Steps, that's my own personal legend. And so I could really relate to The Alchemist, because I also met people who came across and, no, you can never do this, and you're not a scholar, you can write it, and or you're not this and you're not that. And then, so that's why it took me so long to write it, because you know, it gets to you. And but then you meet some other people who inspire you, and so, you know, you have to find that balance between everyone you meet and just stay strong and stay true to who you are and your own mission.
We're gonna have to finish up very soon, but before we do, would you mind telling people, reminding them of the title of your book, who you are, and where they can buy copies of it?
Sure. So my name is Mathilde. My Islamic name is Lujain, and the book is called Big Little Steps: A Woman's Guide to Finding a Balanced Lifestyle and a Glowing Heart in Islam. So it's available online on biglittlestepsbook.com, and it will be in Magrudi's and Kinokuniya in a couple of days.
Amazing. Thank you so much, Mathilde. It's been a pleasure talking to you.
Thank you for having me.
Fantastic.